Thank you. You can have a seat. I'm really excited to teach God's Word today. It's something I've been looking at for a while, and I'm looking forward to it. You can go ahead and turn to Psalm 38, popular psalm this week. We're going to start with that. But before we get into the Word of God, I really wanted to thank my dad for allowing me to teach God's Word to you and entrusting me with the Word of God and with your lives. So, Psalm 38. And in case you haven't figured it out, there's one thing we haven't totally talked about yet that Jesus Christ bore, and that is our sicknesses. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're just going to read a couple verses in Psalm 38, verse 3. It says, "There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head. As an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness." As Katie so beautifully and clearly shared, there is a consequence for sin. And we carry that burden of sin on us. And part of that burden that we carry is manifested as sickness. Which this is pretty clear. It's, "Mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." Too heavy. Go to Proverbs 5. Verse 22. And this is another similar verse, just discussing the burden of sin and the consequence of that burden in my life. It's something that's heavy that I needed someone to bear for me. Verse 22 of Proverbs 5, "His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." I think the NIV, I think it says, "the cords of his sins hold him fast." Basically, there's cords. It's bound up tight. There's a consequence to sin in my life. There's a consequence that I bear in my body. And it's heavy. It's binding. It's tight. It holds you fast. The next one we're going to go to is in Micah chapter 7. Micah is in all the little ones. So Isaiah, Jeremiah, who knows the books of the Bible? Okay, ready? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. I have to say it to myself every time to get there. And if you had a tough time getting there, keep a finger here, because in a little while we're going to come back to Micah just one more time. So if you want to test your knowledge of the books of the Bible, then don't put a finger there. But otherwise, keep one there. Micah 7, verse 9, says, "I will bear the indignation," or the wrath, the anger of the Lord, "because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness." There's a wonderful hope offered in this verse, but the thing that I wanted to look at was, "I will bear the indignation of the Lord, bear his wrath, bear his anger, because I've sinned against him." There is a consequence for sin. There is a burden because of sin. And very literally, as Katie pointed out, we can see that in our physical bodies. Death pays for that sin, but before I die, ugh. Evil stuff. The beautiful thing about our Father is that he's good. He is merciful. He's a God who desires to heal. He's a God who desires to strengthen, to show mercy. But you know what? Without Jesus Christ, I can't think of any expression that doesn't involve a curse word. Without Jesus Christ, we didn't have a way to that God, a way to access his mercy, his healing. We were out of luck, go to Psalm 103. We'll just look a little bit about this God, his goodness, his ways, his mercy, his healing. Psalm 103. Verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." What a good God, who healeth all thy diseases, forgiveth all thy iniquities. Wouldn't that be great if we could have access to a God like that? And I know we do through Jesus Christ. Just, I haven't brought him up yet, so pretend you're looking for this answer. How do I get access to this God who heals? How do I have access to a God who shows mercy, who forgives, who's tender? How do I get there? I'm here. He's here. And there is a big thing called sin right in the middle. Look at Psalm 6. David knew this. He knew that God was good, and he knew that he was weak. Psalm 6, verse 2. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed." I'm sure you've heard about David before. Pretty good guy, generally speaking. God had some high things to say about him. But even this man says, "Have mercy upon me and heal me." He didn't go to God and say, "Do this now, because I expect that I have a right to claim that." Have mercy upon me. Heal me. I'm weak. Psalm 41, a similar verse. Verse 4 of Psalm 41. David again says, "I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee." Heal my soul. I don't know exactly how a soul can be sick, but David needed his to be healed, and he knew that God could do that. But he knew that he didn't have a right to get that from God without God's mercy. Remember I said Micah? Keep a finger there. If you have your finger there, just flip back. If you don't, you can say the books of the Bible to yourself out loud or not out loud. I have to say it out loud most of the time. Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, chapter 6. Verse 6. Again, we're reading this from the perspective as if we didn't know how to get to this God. We didn't have access to this mercy. We didn't have access to a Christ who bore these things for us. So verse 6 of Micah 6 says, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" The wonderful thing is the next verse says, "He showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God?" And as Katie so beautifully brought up, the covenant that God established with the children of Israel was to enable him to bless them. But being men with sin, they broke that. They were unable to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with their God. So just like those who weren't a part of the nation of Israel, those who were offered that blessing via that covenant in Israel still needed a way out, still could cry, "What am I going to come before God with?" Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? What's going to cover this? What's going to give me access to this God who desires to heal, who desires to save? Turn to Ephesians 2. You probably know the answer, I would think, by this week, as much as we've learned. But in case you've forgotten, Ephesians 2, verse 13. And I haven't forgotten that we're going to be looking at healing this morning, in case you're wondering. That's all I'll say for now. Ephesians 2, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who's made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you that were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So if you were kind of nervous, how do I get to this God? How do I get to a God who shows mercy? How do I get to a God who heals? What can I offer that's going to be good enough to come before him? Nothing. God provided the offering. Jesus Christ was the offerer, and he offered himself. And the reason why I wanted to go to this is there's a difference between having access to a God who heals and legally having the right to health via Jesus Christ. It would be wonderful if all I had was righteousness and I could pray and say, God, heal me. I need this. And as a righteous one, God would answer and provide and deliver. That would be pretty great, wouldn't it? Knowing that I don't need the mercy of God. I'm righteous. I can stand before him in his presence and expect that those benefits that are listed in Psalm 103 are benefits that I would see in my life. That would be a pretty good deal. But you know what? We have something even greater than that. We have a Lord who bore those things for us. He didn't just give us a way back to God. He took the weight of our sin and the consequence of that sin, and he bore it in his own body so that I could be made whole, that I could be made righteous, that I could be healed. So if you're tempted to think you need to ask God to heal you, you need to come before him in prayer, seeking that deliverance, what we're going to look at now should provide an answer to that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. We've looked at this already. But just as a refresher of what we looked at last night, verse 21. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And as Mike so beautifully detailed, Jesus Christ willingly was made something for us. He took that burden upon himself so that we could be made righteous. We could receive what he deserved, and he could take what we deserved. All of our sins and their consequences were transferred to Jesus Christ, and all of his righteousness was transferred to us. This is a legal deal. When Jesus Christ bore our sins, legally, we're righteous. It's the same thing when it comes to sickness, no different. When it says he bore those things, legally, it's ours. There isn't a prayer that's needed to claim that. Once and for all, that sacrifice was good enough. 1 Peter 2. It's funny, it's up there. Have we gone to it all week? I don't think so. 1 Peter 2, 24. And this is speaking of Jesus Christ. You can just read it up there if you want to. who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You see, if he hadn't have borne our sins, healing wouldn't have resulted. But he did so much more than just bear our sins. Like Josh pointed out in his teaching, the difference between Jesus Christ and an Old Testament sacrifice, he suffered one of the differences. And that suffering was for our health. He wasn't just a sacrifice, done, made righteous. The total length of that suffering, what he bore in his own body, accomplished for us much more than just remission of sins. It accomplished for us what God has desired to give us all along. He's desired to bless us, as we saw with Katie's teaching. He wants to bless. He wants to show good things to you and me. Turn to Isaiah 53, where we've been quite a few times this week. And we're not going to read the whole chapter. So if you were looking forward to that, sorry. But it'll still be there. You can look at it later if you want. We're just going to read a few verses here. Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I'm going to stop for just a second. There's two words that I think we could understand a little bit better. One of them comes up, well, they come up from verse 3 and 4. That word sorrows and that word grief. The word griefs, you can look it up. It's a really easy study. It just means sicknesses. That same word comes up in Deuteronomy 28 that Katie went to, talking about the cursings of the law. Sickness. Griefs means sickness. That word sorrow, it could just mean sorrow. Pains, sorrows. And really, it's, like I mentioned before, there is a burden that we carry because of sin that may manifest itself as physical sickness, a cold, a festering wound. It may also manifest itself in ways that aren't so evident, but are still a consequence of the sin that we carry. God talks about how he heals the brokenhearted. He talks about how he heals a soul. There is a consequence for sin that we can carry that goes much deeper than just this flesh. Anguish. Mental ache, emotional pain. God never intended for a man to be separate from him. And because of sin, because of Adam's transgression, you and I, without Jesus Christ to bear that load for us, carried in our own bodies, in our brains, in our hearts, the weight of that sin, the pain of that sin. And I'm sure you're familiar with this. You don't have to raise your hands, but has anyone ever carried a burden? Have you ever been sick? Have you ever been heartbroken? Have you ever been in anguish? Surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, the punishment that brought us peace, was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. I'm going to use someone as an example. David. Here's my Bible. Can you carry this for me? Okay, cool. Is it heavy? Yeah. If I covered it with honey, what would be the consequence of you carrying that? Yeah, you'd be sticky. if I covered it with, like, barbed wire? What would be the consequence of you carrying that? Yeah, you'd be cut. Think about the burden that Jesus Christ bore for us. Why did he suffer? Because he took what was rightfully ours. When he willingly took up our burden for us, he knew what would happen as a result of that. He knew that punishment would occur. He knew that suffering, that anguish would occur. But he was willing to bear those things for you and for me, so that I could stand as one righteous. I could stand as one healed. What a savior. I have to flick back to Isaiah 53. We're going to read verse 10. Well, no, let's read verse 6 too. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Do you wonder how a good God, a loving God, could be pleased with his son's suffering? You don't need to. God loved so much that he was willing to see his son go through this suffering to make you acceptable before him, to make you whole. I've never seen love like that before. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. If you still want to pray to God for healing, you're welcome to do so, but God was satisfied with the punishment that was meted out on his son. Satisfied. A righteous, just God. Jesus Christ completed the work. He bore that burden so that I don't have to bear anything any longer. I don't need to go to God and ask him to deliver. This is his answer of deliverance. Where shall I come before the Lord? In Micah 6. Am I going to bring him my firstborn, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? No, you know what? He offered his firstborn for the sin of my soul. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Verse 11. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Christ's sacrifice was so much more than just a death. And leading up to that cross and on that cross, he was bearing our burden, the total weight of our sin and everything that comes with it. He willingly took upon himself our sins, our sicknesses, and our pains to bring us what we couldn't bring ourselves. And you know what? Turn to John 1. This man who was so willing to be obedient to his father. Verse 14 of John 1. It says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. What glory. Jesus Christ was a privileged man, a special man. The only man in this world without sin, with spirit, who could call on the Father, who could operate power, real genuine power. He very rightly deserved honor. Go to Matthew 4. The devil recognized what position Jesus Christ was in and what could have been due to him because of his position. Verse 8 of Matthew 4, this is the devil tempting Jesus Christ. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. This is a man who literally had the world at his feet. What couldn't he have done? If you're amazed by the talent or the beauty or the achievements of people in this world, Jesus Christ could have blown them away like that. He could have been the biggest thing anybody had ever seen. But you know what he chose to become? Go back to Isaiah 53. Verse 3. This sinless man, this holy man, this man beloved of God, he is despised and rejected of men. This man became a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, a man of pain and acquainted with sickness. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. This man chose to bear our sickness and carry our pain, to become a man of pain, not a man of exaltation. What humility, what love for the Father, that he could reject all that this world offered, being in the best position to achieve the most in this world, and say, no, I'm going to be humble before my Father's will. I'm going to willingly become a man acquainted with the sickness of the world, acquainted with the pain of the world. I'm going to willingly become a man who bears those things, who becomes debased, despised, rejected, low. I can't see if Jesus Christ could do this, and he was the only one worthy, if he could make himself low to obey the Father. What's preventing us from recognizing our own unworthiness and accepting his offering? He was the worthy one, and he took our burden, and he obeyed the Father, willingly lowering himself. I have the easy job. All I have to do is recognize my burden was borne for me. Whether it's sickness, whether it's a broken heart, whether it's grief, any ailment, any ill, any plague, that was borne. This man took it for you. The only worthy man. As Mike brought up, pride would prevent us from seeing our own unworthiness and accepting Christ's offering. After seeing this, I don't want to be in that position, do you? Where this man became low for me, and I still try and exalt myself. Turn to Matthew 11, please. And I know that many of you came here with something broken, with something that needed to be fixed, with aches, with pains, with diseases, with ailments, needing real deliverance. As we mentioned earlier, This is the answer to that. Another one bore that for you. You don't need to carry that any longer. Verse 28 of Matthew 11 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The yoke and the burden that Jesus Christ took for us wasn't easy and it wasn't light. But what we can accept in return from him, total deliverance in every area of our lives. Why would we continue to struggle and to fight against that? Take the offering that Jesus Christ presents before you. There's never going to be a better answer. This man was God's answer. And we can be humble enough to not seek any other solution. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for your deliverance. And I thank you for your son who lived and who suffered and who carried our weight for us. May we constantly look to his cross as a place of our deliverance, as a place of our freedom. I thank you for seeing us, seeing our weight, and choosing to care enough to send your son, to watch him suffer, and to allow him to die on our behalf so that we could receive all that you have ever intended for us to receive. May we approach the offering of your son with humility and accept what he gave us, and accept that he bore those things for us. I pray for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Bridget.
Well, we do have the sign-up sheets for the CD sets out.